Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Scripture reading today is found in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. I'll be reading from the New International Version. You have heard it that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Good morning. And happy Sabbath. I thank God this morning that he has allowed us to be here in his presence and has given us the privilege to worship him and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. I must confess this morning I feel a little unprepared, but maybe a little inadequate, actually, perhaps because I'm not a trained minister, or maybe I don't preach often enough. But to be honest, preparing, let alone preaching a sermon, seems such a daunting task. But thank God that he's able to provide both the time and the ability just when we need it the most. So let's pray together before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we are so privileged to be in thy presence this morning. We ask, O God, that you may send us the Holy Spirit, O God, that he may dwell among us. And Father, we pray that you may open our hearts that we may be receptive to thy word. We ask, O God, that you may speak even to that one single heart here this morning. It may be that person sitting to somebody's right, maybe even somebody to somebody's left. The dear Father, they may be blessed this morning according to your will. May we just continue to praise thee, O God, and to glorify your name as you intended. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It was February 1993. Mrs. Johnson's son, Laramiam Bird, age 20, was shot at point-blank range in the head by Oshia Israel, a 16-year-old teenager, after an argument at a party in Minneapolis. Israel, who was involved with drugs and gangs, was tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years. Then just a few years ago, Mrs. Johnson, this 59-year-old school teacher and devout Christian, asked if she could meet Israel at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. She said she felt compelled to see if there was a way in which she could forgive her son's killer. At first, Bird refused, but then 9 months later, changed his mind. The pair met regularly after that. When Israel was released from prison after serving only 17 years, Mrs. Johnson introduced him to her landlord, who, with her blessing, invited Israel to move into the building, same building where she lived. He now lives in that same neighborhood where he grew up, right next door to Mrs. Johnson, the mother of the young man he murdered. And they are now very close friends. That is undeserved favor, undeserved kindness. The human mind can never really understand it. We can never comprehend it. Someone once said, to be human is to have enemies. to be human is to have enemies. People who have hurt us or people we have hurt. All of us know someone we have a hard time loving. Or we know someone who has a hard time loving us. Some of us have a hard time loving anything to do with those we have a hard time loving. When we have an enemy, we hate everything and anything to do with them. Their friends, their family, their home, and everything else to do with them. But Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We just read scripture reading, right? Matthew read it. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When he said that, he knew that we humans will have enemies. So the question on my mind this morning is not whether we have enemies, but why, maybe even perhaps, how we should love those who have hurt us. The words of Jesus suggest that it's better and even possible to get past the bitterness in our hearts. It's possible. We could get past the unforgiveness in our hearts. Someone once said, listen to this, someone once said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. Let me repeat that. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. The book of Samuel, somehow I'm drawn to the Old Testament because I can relate. The book of Samuel, the first Samuel is mostly about the soap opera life of King Saul and David. Saul became king because the people of Israel were demanding they wanted a king, contrary to God's will. But God is almost saying, you asked for a king, and here's a king by the name of Saul. Saul was an impressive young man without equals, a head taller than others. Saul was tall, handsome, well-built. But one day, this brother, Saul, who had no political ambition whatsoever, even of becoming king, was simply minding his own business. As a matter of fact, looking for his father's lost donkeys, when the prophet Samuel ended up anointing him as king at God's command. Most of the people of Israel were excited and shouted, "Long live the king." But there were some who didn't think Saul was the right guy for the job. The Bible says Saul had a temper, a bad temper, but he also had a soft side and held no animosity towards those who questioned his leadership. As time went by, however, Saul began to show his weakness, or as they say, his true colors. He often went by his own agenda and did not fully seek the Lord's direction. He had trouble waiting for the Lord's timing. Like some of us, there are times when we too take on responsibilities in life, maybe even in church, in our families. In the beginning, we constantly seek the Lord's guidance. But then, as time goes on, we want to take matters into our own hands. We make decisions without asking God for his guidance. Like Saul, we put ourselves at equal to or above God. As king, Saul began to put himself above the Lord and made decrees without God's guidance. This was the beginning of the end for Saul, as Samuel, the prophet, was subsequently sent by the Lord on a dangerous mission to find a replacement for King Saul. While King Saul was still in power, Samuel did so at God's leading. And as you know, Samuel picked David, the youngest of Jesse's boys, and anointed him as the next king. In Samuel chapter 1 Samuel chapter 16, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Saul, meantime, was having a rough time dealing with what some people think was depression. He also had a giant named Goliath breathing threats down on him. By God's grace, David quickly dealt with the giant, and by no fault or encouragement of his own, developed a following in Israel. He now has fans amongst the Israelites. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, that when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the women came out from all the towns of Israel. The women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, these women, as they danced, they sang. Saul has slain thousands, but David has slain tens of thousands. It's obvious that David is becoming more popular than the king, especially among the women. This doesn't sit very well with King Saul, and it breeds jealousy in his heart. From then on, the king pursues David, and all he wants is to kill him. The Bible says such comments, especially by women, get to King Saul, and he really, really hates David, so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes to kill him. Listen to what the book of 1 Samuel 17:17 says. Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter Merab. I'll give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord." For Saul said to himself, "I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that." Saul wanted the enemy to kill David. Instead, David became even more popular. The more popular he became, the more Saul wanted to kill him. Here are some instances where King Saul directly sought to kill David. 1 Samuel 19, verse 9. An evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he was sitting in his house with a spear in his hand. While David was playing the harp, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with the spear, but David eluded him. That night, David made good his escape. In 1 Samuel 19, verse 11, Saul sends his men to watch David's house and to kill him in the morning. But David's wife warned him in the night and let him out down the window that night. In 1 Samuel 21, King Saul pursues David, and he ended up killing the priest who gave David provisions. In 1 Samuel 23, King Saul pursues David seriously, but the Philistines started raiding the land. That's how Saul broke off his pursuit. And then in 1 Samuel 24, Saul was told David was in the desert. He took 3,000 specially chosen men and set out to look for David. It was there in the cave that Saul went to relieve himself. It's funny. He went to relieve himself not knowing that David and his men were hiding in the back of that same cave. David crept out quietly, unnoticed, and cut off the corner of Saul's robe while he was relieving himself. David had a real chance to take revenge and kill Saul, but he chose not to, granting him undeserved favor. In 1 Samuel 26, Saul continues to pursue David. One night, he and his men fell asleep, spear and jug of water by his side, and David and his men watching from a distance. That night, David sneaks in and takes both Saul's spear and the jug of water. And again, David made a choice not to kill Saul. And again, granting him undeserved favor. The story is such that in all this real life drama, there was a very special bond of friendship between David and Saul's son, Jonathan. I believe all of us here today will never go as far as wanting to kill those who we have a hard time loving. But we may have, at one time in our lives, put in just as much effort with bitterness in our hearts in trying to hurt them or their feelings. We have no desire to kill, but we are still making every effort to cause them some amount of pain. Jesus says, however, it's possible to love them instead. It's possible to pray for them. Jesus does not want you to fight the battle. David chose to leave it to God, and we too can. There are several lessons we could draw from this part of David's life. But I picked four, just four. Number one, we need to recognize that in life there will be obstacles. But don't get distracted from what God has called you to do. There will be giants. There will be flying spears. There will be people saying bad things about you. There will be people saying things that are not true about you. Have you noticed that the more blessings God gives you, the harder it is for some people to love you? May I encourage you to keep your eyes on the mission that God has put in front of you. David knew that God had called him to be king. Find out what your calling is and stay the course. Lesson number two, leave it up to God. It's not about you, and the battle is not yours to fight, but it's God's, and he will fight it for you. David chose not to fight the fight against Saul. Lesson number three. Do no harm. Don't do it, even if your friends and family tell you to. Friends may wonder and ask if you are mentally okay by not fighting back or by not revenging. They will be telling you how bad you are by allowing somebody else to run all over you. It could be a bad boss at work, an abusive husband, an emotionally abusive wife, or simply a friend who keeps saying things about you, things that are not true, things that are hurtful. Like David, you have every reason and maybe every opportunity to harm them in revenge. The lesson this morning is, difficult as it may be, but by God's grace, do no harm. Ask God to help you to show undeserved favor instead. And lesson number four, make every effort to reconcile. Loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you is the beginning of the reconciliation process. It sounds tough from a human standpoint, but Jesus says it's possible and is the cornerstone of forgiveness. David used every opportunity to seek reconciliation. God's will is for us to get reconciled to Him. We too should use every opportunity to seek reconciliation with those who we have a hard time loving. That is undeserved favor. The story of King Saul, as you know, takes a twist in 1 Samuel. And, as a matter of fact, has a sad ending. Saul commits suicide and takes his own life. And Jonathan is dead. David is anointed king. In the book of 2 Samuel, David is doing very well as king. And God blesses him with a lot of success. And as he becomes king, there are some of Saul's relatives who still try to fight him. But God continues to bless him, and he conquers them and most of the surrounding areas. We have talked about David showing undeserved favor to King Saul. But the real sermon this morning does not start until you get to the second book of Samuel, chapter 9 and verse 1, where David is asking, if there is anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake. The Bible says there was a servant in Saul's household named Ziba who told David in verse 3 that, yes, there's a son of Jonathan. He lives in Lodebar. His name is Mephibosheth. You know, Mephibosheth was crippled in both feet. David immediately called for him. And when Mephibosheth arrived, he bowed down to pay honor to the king. "Don't be afraid," David said to him. And listen to what he tells this young man in verse 7. He tells him three things. A, for I will show you kindness for the sake of Jonathan. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. Number two, I will restore to you the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul. And thirdly, you always eat at my table. In verse 8, Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" I'm sure Mephibosheth was wondering if he was dreaming or the king was playing a trick on him. But David gave him servants, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet, the Bible says. In other words, David invited the grandson of the man who did everything in his power to kill him. He invited the grandson of the man who did everything in his power to kill him. That is undeserved favor. Here are a few real-life lessons from this part of David's life. I pick four again. I seem to like four. We may not be crippled in both feet, but we are all crippled by sin. And we may be afraid that the king will punish us because of something in our past. We just cannot get past not being able to love someone and are afraid to face them. They are the ones who wronged us. We did nothing. But here's an assurance for you, brothers and sisters. God is inviting us to make the first step in reconciling, just like David did. David knew that is what God is doing to all of us, inviting us in spite of our defects. Lesson number two. For some of us, life's troubles are weighing heavily on us. And it's been for so long. We are bitter and we are angry. Perhaps Mephibosheth was also asking God why he let him get crippled and was blaming God for his circumstances. Perhaps we too are blaming God for our circumstances. And some of us, like Mephibosheth, may be asking the Lord, why me? Perhaps life's troubles have made you spiritually lame, not able to walk in the Lord the way you used to. And you wonder if God has become an enemy and is out to punish you. And in your helplessness and bitterness, are running away from God, fleeing from his presence. But listen to this. God wants you and me to be with him, just like David wanted to be with Mephibosheth. As crippled with life's troubles as we are, may I also encourage you, God is calling you the way you are. You need to run to him, not away from him. Lesson number three. The Bible says that Mephibosheth was afraid of David. He sure thought David would kill him. It was the default expectation, given that King Saul had tried to kill him. Even though Mephibosheth was afraid, he came when the king called him. And when he came, he humbled himself before King David. This is all that God wants us to do when he calls us, to humble ourselves before him. He wants us to hear his voice and to answer. The Bible says Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. He says that if anyone will answer, he will come in and dine with them. And then finally, lesson number four. David sought out Mephibosheth. This crippled deserved nothing. And seeking the King David's favor was the last thing on his mind. David initiated the relationship, just like God's favor initiates our relationship with him. David did not wait for Mephibosheth to come to him, just like God does not wait around for us to come to him. In fact, we cannot and do not come to God in and of ourselves. His invitation is wide open and is for all of us. On the night of November 20th, 2004, a bunch of Long Island teenagers bought a frozen 20-pound turkey with a stolen credit card. One of them, Ryan Cushing, decided to toss it out a moving car window. Victoria Ruvolo was driving home from work that night when the 20-pound turkey smashed through her windscreen into her car. It bent the steering wheel, then struck her in the face, breaking nearly every bone in her face. The result of a teenage prank gone horribly wrong. Victoria spent weeks in a medically induced coma after her face was completely rebuilt, and then underwent months of agonizing rehabilitation. The high school student Ryan Cushing was arrested and charged with throwing the turkey. He faced up to 25 years in prison. But at his sentencing, Victoria pleaded for mercy for him, and the judge agreed, giving the teen just 6 months in jail, followed by 5 years probation. In court, Victoria hugged him and forgave him and urged him, do good with your life. That is undeserved favor. Is forgiveness possible? Jesus says it is. Is forgiveness easy? Friends, forgiveness is so hard to put in action and is only possible by God's grace. We cannot do it on our own. My prayer is that if there's someone whom you've had a hard time loving, perhaps for something they or one of their family or friend did to you, it may be from recent past or from decades ago, I pray that by God's grace, you show them undeserved favor. It's never too late. And it is God's will. The spirit of forgiveness is ours for the asking. God's spirit of forgiveness is ours for the asking. Go ahead and ask God for his spirit of forgiveness. The Bible says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Call them and let them know they are forgiven. You won't believe the blessing God has in store for you. May the good Lord bless us as we continue to worship him today. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.